Well, greetings to you today in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark, and this is day 5 in our 7-day series, and I apologize for getting this on a little bit late. I usually try to have it on at least by 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's now 8 o'clock in the morning, so yeah, it's just been a different morning for me. So anyway, we have seen in this study so far that the day of the Lord will come. We were reading in 2 Peter on the first day there, first, second day, maybe we looked at some of that in 2 Peter, but how in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the last half of the chapter there, we've seen, or we saw several things there. We've been challenged out of that to consider the judgment that is coming and to live our lives very diligently that we may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. And I'll just read 3 verses out of that section there. Verse 11, well, this is after, well, let me just read, we'll just read verse 10 too. That's where we started. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So, this is the judgment that's going to come upon this earth someday, and it might not be that far away. Just the way things are looking in our world today. And here's the, I guess the burden of the message is starting with verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the heavens melting and the earth being burned up and all the works are and seeing that these things shall be dissolved, excuse me, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? Now, that's the first challenge. That's the first warning that we have here, to really be circumspect in our own lives, to consider our lives, what we should be living like, how we should be living as Christians in this world, seeing that judgment day is coming. And like I said earlier, even if judgment day is after the time when we pass from this life through death somehow, we still enter the same way. And we're still going to be judged the same way. So it really doesn't matter if it's another 100 years or another 1,000 years before Jesus comes. You and I aren't going to live that long, and there is going to be a time where we're going to face God face to face and give an account for our life, for the way that we live our life. And so, but this is the challenge for us here. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And then verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, the coming of the day of the Lord, it says here, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So our lives should be lived out very diligently, not carelessly, not randomly, not just in a lukewarm way, but we should be diligent. We should be hot for the Lord. The way I read this and the way I see the scriptures telling us how to live our lives in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament is, you know, God hated their hypocrisy. He hated their lukewarmness. He hated their backsliding. But he loved his people, and he brought judgment to them at times, and then they repented and they started walking in a holy way again, and then, you know, they would get lukewarm again. So this is our challenge in our day, in our age, with the way, or in the day that we're living. So be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And then the next verse I want to read is verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And so here he says for us to beware. He it gives us another warning here, or another challenge to beware that we wouldn't be led away, like so many people are going to be led away in the last day and fall from their steadfastness. And yeah, I think of a verse in that Jesus said that in the last day, will he find faith in the earth? I'm not exactly sure where it's at. I think Matthew, but he says, will he find faith in the earth? Maybe it's in Matthew 23, I'm not sure, 24 maybe. But will he find faith in the earth? And it's the kind of faith that does something. It doesn't just say something, but it does something. That's like what James says, faith without works is dead. So here, this is what we've seen so far in this study. Like I said, this is day 5. We've also considered current events, some things of what's going on in the world, in our country. And we are living in a very wicked time, a very troubling time, a lot of wars, a lot of things going on, a lot of sin. And we also considered Noah, how he was living in that kind of day and how he was living in that kind of time where wickedness was great in the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And my encouragement that day when we talked about that we also can find grace in the eyes of God. And Noah had faith, says in Hebrews 12 or Hebrews 11, that by faith Noah did all these things. By faith he built an ark for the saving of his house. And we also can find grace in the eyes of God if we have faith in him. And our faith, like I said there, it's a faith that works. It's a faith that produces good fruit. It's walking in the fruit of the Spirit and those kind of good things in our lives. It's not, like I say, it's not a lukewarmness. It's not this hypocritical type of Christianity where we believe something in our head, but our life is completely, or not maybe completely, but a lot different than what we would even believe the New Testament saying about holiness and about righteousness and about modesty and about truthfulness and all of these things that the Bible talks about. Okay, so we've considered those current events. We've considered how Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And we saw the warnings that Jesus gave in the parables about those who only profess with their mouth, but there is no possession. There's no, parable after parable, examples there that we had. Just for one example would be, that I shared last time, would be the parable of the builders, where there was one that built his house on a rock, and there was one that built his house on the sand. And we have that was built on the rock, his house is going to stand when the trials come. But the one on the sand isn't going to stand. And it's clearly showing in all of these different examples that I gave that there's two kinds of people. There's those that profess things, but there's no reality there, or at least not much reality, at least not enough reality to make them stand in the evil day, stand in the day of judgment. But those who are on the rock, the Lord Jesus, will stand. So we saw that. If you didn't make it clear with the parables, go back and listen to that day. I think it was the 14th. So we also saw how Jesus hated hypocrisy and pretense. He hated it in the Pharisees and how he was very strong in his words. Here, his words to a sinner woman were gracious and and forgiving. But the words to this to the hypocrite were very strong, very, very sharp words. And that's the way God looks at hypocrisy today, living our lives in a pretense or in a false way. Oh, God, help us and turn us from that kind of thing if it's in our lives, that we would repent and really truly see it. So that's what we're looking at here this week. I believe that I've only scratched the surface of the need to examine ourselves truly and humbly and rightly. That's what we're trying to do here, is examine ourselves to see where we are really at. And I don't want to unsettle anyone who is real, but maybe weak or feeble. Maybe your faith is feeble. Maybe it's weak. Maybe you are overcome at times with sin. And I'm not going to say that's okay, but what I'm going to say about it is that if you are truthful about it, if you're not trying to cover it up or hide it, make it look like you're good on the outside and that there's problems, or that when there's really problems on the inside, then that's a good thing, that if you're not trying to hide it, you're really trying to be real, because that's what God, he's looking for, is truthful people, real people, and not a sham, not a cover-up, not a play, but reality. So maybe your faith is weak, maybe you're feeble in areas, but that's okay if you're real. But maybe there's someone listening who see themselves as undone, because you are undone. You are putting on a pretense. Then I hope these days of considering this in the daily inspiration would bring you to the place of repentance. Maybe there's someone who has been viewing pornography or been giving in to lustful thoughts, and you just cover it all up and hide it. You haven't shared it with anyone. Well, God sees, God knows. And I pray that these messages will bring you to the place of repentance and clearing, even if it takes, and it will take, a humbling of confession in getting it right. Maybe there's one person here who has been walking in bitterness and unforgiveness and anger, and you see, and then you're also just covering that thing up as much as you can, or think that you're covering it up. Well, God, I hope God will convict you and help you to see that this covering up, the sin of bitterness and unforgiveness is great, and it's a terrible sin, and it'll affect many people. But to cover that thing up, try to cover it up, and to pretend like everything's all right when you actually have unforgiveness or bitterness towards someone, oh God, open your eyes. I pray that God would open your eyes. Yeah, maybe you just look good on the outside, but you know your heart is not right. Or maybe you have some harsh words with your spouse, even on the way to church. But then you walk in like everything is okay, your big smiles, and maybe, you know, you're sitting together, that's the way you sit, and, you know, everybody thinks, oh, well, this is a nice family, they must, you know, be doing really well, and you're just on the way to church, you're having bitter words with each other, or angry words, or there's things that are stewing inside towards the other person. Wouldn't it be better to just stand up and say, we are really struggling here. Can you pray for us? We just had a fight on the way to church, and wouldn't that be better for you? And wouldn't it be better for your children that see the fight, hear the fight, and then they see you come walking in just with this pretense, with this hypocrisy? Wouldn't it be much better to just be open and ask for prayer and ask God to heal this contention that's there? I believe it'd be a lot better. Well, we lived in Ghana, West Africa for 6 years, and there was one time another missionary who had malaria thought he was going to die. I mean, he had malaria bad, and I think it was probably the first time he had malaria, and he was very sick, and he thought he was going to die. Well, he started confessing some things that he had covered up. It was covered up in his life. He started confessing these things and trying to get right with God before he died. And it just really kind of surprised me here, though this missionary had these ugly things in his life that he was just holding on to, wasn't confessing, but now he thought he was going to die. This was in front of his son and others of us, which was a good thing that he was confessing these things. But why wait till you're about ready to die or you think you're going to die? If you really thought that you were going to die, would there be things that you would want to clear up, repent of, or ask forgiveness for? Oh, my brother, my sister, young person, if it's you listening here today, don't wait until you think you're going to die. I just beg you not to wait. Get things cleared up, even today. For God is the God of truth, and he loves when we are walking in the truth, when there is no pretense, no hypocrisy, no sham, no play, we're not putting on a TV show, a reality show. This is we're not just putting on a show at all, but we're just being honest and open before God. I believe God has no greater joy than to see his children walking in the truth. So God bless you today. I think I'll close with that. And let me just read one portion of scripture here before we close. Out of Titus, and we did look at some scripture here today, but I'd like to read this out of Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So that's a good scripture to meditate on this morning. And it's the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all man. And it's the grace of God that teaches us that ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly and righteously in this godly, or in this present world. And so I pray that the grace of God would be upon your life and that you would walk in the ways of God today. Thank you for calling in.